Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Maureen St. Germain, and we're going to be talking about her brand new book, Waking Up in 5D, A Guide to Multidimensional Transformation. In this Ascension Manual, spiritual teacher Maureen St. Germain explains how to shift your energetic patterns and choose to permanently anchor yourself in the joy, love, and kindness of 5D. Maureen is a facilitator of personal development and spiritual awakening. As a seeker, she shares the knowledge that she has gained from more than 25 years of study in ancient truths. Maureen leads sacred journeys and is known for her books on ascension, Akashic Records readings, the Merkaba meditation, and the Flower of Life. Maureen is also a master numerologist and spiritual consultant. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.maureenstgermain.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So that, I'd like to welcome Maureen to the show. Good day, Maureen.
Your show, Robert. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Sorry about that. We had somebody in the queue here already, maybe wanting to ask a question. So I do want to let listeners know that right after halftime, if you want to call in and ask Maureen any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. So, well, Maureen, boy, I'm really looking forward to learning a little bit more about the 5D experience. I guess what we should probably start with is give the listeners a little bit of a baseline reference, you know, as to, you know, dimensions 1 through 4 and what is 5D.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to explain that I'm just like everybody else. I'm very, very curious. And so I kept going back into meditation, asking questions about things I had been hearing about in meditation. And I was having a lot of different kinds of experiences. I was also teaching in a different city every single weekend for almost 20 years. And so I had lots and lots of students and lots of time to take people deep. And because of that, I was privileged to get an understanding, a capacity to get what was going on that wasn't readily available. So that's where this information came from. And I have a direct connection to Source. And so when I would ask a question or when a student would ask a question, the answer would come out of my lips, sometimes even surprising me. So one of the things I knew is that we were all going to evolve to a higher plane of consciousness. And it was very clear to me that we were going to fifth, although I didn't know why initially. And when my stuff started disappearing, I wondered where my stuff went. And I was always told that it was in a higher dimension. And then one day I actually asked the question, not where did my stuff go, but what is going on? And I was told, Maureen, you were in the higher dimension when you put it down. And that's when I had this huge aha. So let me back up and say third dimension is where we have a polarity consciousness. It's where we keep score. It's where we have right and wrong, when we have hot and cold, and all the contrast that we experience in 3D. Fourth dimension is a portal, a nexus, where we travel to a higher dimension or where we start to go up and then we slide back down. And I'll talk more about four momentarily. And fifth dimension, it is the equivalent of what the traditional churches have taught us is heaven. So what's happening is that when we move into this blissful, yummy state, and practically everybody's done it at least once, you know, maybe they're meditating, maybe they're in church, maybe they're having a moment with a baby, you know, some or our pet, and so their heart opens wide and they're in this connected to the universe energy. And in that moment, they have raised their vibration to fifth dimension. Now, what's amazing is you can be simultaneously in third and fifth at the same time. But if your focus is fifth, that's where your vantage point is. And that's where you are when you set something down that then shows up later, exactly where you left it. I'm sure you've had that experience, haven't you?
Oh, I have. And I always kind of went back to that old Twilight Zone episode where, you know, in between, you know, they were changing the scenes in between and they kind of would leave something there. But I mean, it was just one of those things where it was, you know, I mean, it makes you wonder. It's like, you know, I know that I left it there.
Well, you know, what's funny is when I first started asking, and one of the things, one of the tools I teach people is how to get an accurate higher self connection so that you can ask your own questions. So one of the things I was asking, you know, where did my stuff go? And when I was told it was in a higher dimension, I'm thinking to myself, well, that must mean I'm sending my stuff ahead, you know, kind of like practice, like we send monkeys into space. And you know, it's like I was so narrow in my thinking, and it wasn't until I asked the what question. And that's one of the tools to help you stay in 5D. Because we all know the six interview questions, the who, what, why, when, where, how, that we were taught in grade school, you know, how to write a report, make sure we cover all the bases. And we typically want to know the answer to something so we can solve a problem. You know, as a mom, for example, I wanted to know or maybe the siblings, because I had four sons, would want to know who ate the last cookie in the cookie jar and why didn't he share? Or when were the cookies eaten? Because maybe they ate them at 5:30 and now they're not going to eat dinner at 6. Why are the cookies gone? Well, we didn't put any fruit out. You know, I could go on and on. But all of those things are for me to collect data so that I can solve the problem. But when you ask the what question, you're not asking that. You're simply asking, you know, hit me, give me the full story. And what happens is as you become accustomed to hearing the inner voice that you can train yourself to hear, and that's one of the tools in the book, what happens is you get information you weren't expecting. I really got you on that one, didn't I? Did we lose the call? Should I dial back in?
No, I'm sorry. I got you. I got you there. Yeah. No, yeah, you did. You did have me there.
I really caught you by surprise on that one. Yeah. So what's happening is I'll tell you the exact story because I think it's compelling for your listeners. I had been asking, you know, what, where did my stuff go? So I began asking my students, are you having this issue? And they all said yes. And so I said, well, if that's what's happening, you can ask for it back. Just ask that you want it back, you know, and it'll show up. And you'll open the drawer, and the thing that you were looking for is exactly where you left it. Now, what happened to me is one day, one of my sons, a 16-year-old, came in the house. He put something in his backpack, set the backpack down in the living room, came in the kitchen, starts telling me this big story, and he says, here, Mom, I'll show you what I'm talking about. And he walks back to his backpack and reaches in. Now, remember, this thing he put in was on top, and it's not there. So now he's pulled everything out of the backpack. And because I was in my own home, in my own space, I didn't even realize what I was saying. And I said, oh, honey, it's probably in a higher dimension. We'll just ask for it to come back. Now, can you imagine what my 16-year-old thought? And in that moment, you know, I was just like in my zone. And so he comes back in the kitchen and he puts everything back in the backpack, comes back in the kitchen, finishes his story. And I said, okay, now go back and look and see if it's there. And it was. And that's when I knew I wasn't making it up.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. I mean, that, you know, when you have that kind of experience, you know, it's one of those, when those kinds of things happen is really when you kind of have to sit up and take notice and then recognize,
exactly,
you know, that it's it's not airy, as I believe was it your father called those kind of things airy.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny too because this is this, you know, that particular son was the most grounded of all my sons, and it's almost like Spirit set it up to happen with him, so that we would both see it. You know, one of the things that started happening to me as I started to slip into 5D more often was that certain words bothered me. You know how, like, when people say something that's inappropriate, either racially or something else, you know, and you're like, you're kind of bristling inside, and it's not really a bad word, but it's not appropriate. Well, I was starting to have that same reaction to perfectly normal words, but they were polarized words. They were words that locked you into 3D, and they were, you know, good, bad. They were words like the best or the right thing to do. And I found myself, you know, kind of cringing inside. And so I started meditating on, well, why was I reacting this way? You know, people weren't being inappropriate. They were being fine, but they were expressing their strong opinions about something. And I began to understand that those were words that were so polarity-based that it pulled you into 3D. So when you say, I have to, for example, that says I've got Big Brother or somebody over me that's telling me I have to. You know, and if you have to pick up the kids after school, that's really not a have to. That's, you know, like, I'm really excited to see my children. Or I like being on time because I don't want to get a late charge. Or my kids are to see me, whatever it is, but you don't have to. And it's the same, I have to go to the doctor. Well, no, you don't have to go to the doctor. I go to the doctor because I'm going to be healthy because of it, or he's going to take care of me, or she's going to take care of me. So one of the things that I noticed is that if we would be proactive and choose words that would support us being non-pejorative and non-preferential, we could actually stay in that higher zone effortlessly. So when somebody says, you know, this is the right way and this is the wrong way, I always say, well, you know, it's really a choice and maybe it's best for them. Now, when someone wants to say that's right for me or that's the right way, I always say, well, maybe you could say it's a match, because a match doesn't have the pejorative with it that right or wrong does. And also, another word that people use a lot is weird. That's weird. And you notice I'm deliberately giving it an emphasis, weird. You know, it's got that energy and it drags you down. But if you say, oh, that's interesting, it's an uplifting sound. In other words, not only am I using the word a certain way, but I'm actually using the sound of the voice a certain way. And when we use that word weird, we often add a, you know, like drag you down energy with the way we use the tone of our voice, weird, as compared with interesting or I'm amazed. That's awesome. And now finally, when we experience something we don't understand, instead of saying, well, that was weird or that's, you know, odd, to say, I wonder what's going on. And that's the most powerful thing. Instead of accepting something that's happened as weird because it doesn't fit the matrix of 3D, what if we would be able to start to notice when something happens that fits the matrix of 5D that we don't yet understand, and we offer the question, whoa, I wonder what's going on. And I'll give you another example of this happening to people. And, you know, the good news is because I have so many people that I've worked with all over the world, I get a lot of feedback. So one day I get a call from a lady who is telling me a story about how she's at a traffic light and maybe they're the third car back and nobody moves when the light changes. Now, the people don't move to cross. You know, they're still crossing the other way, and the cars don't move. And so she's sharing this with me, and all of a sudden I get an aha. In 5D, you're actually observing the reality before 3D people. So it might be 2 seconds or 3 seconds. And if you decide to pay attention to that concept, if you haven't already experienced it, you will, because you'll be sitting, you know, in a good place. You'll be in a heart space because that's the thing you do. And you're in traffic and, you know, the light changes and nobody moves and you're looking around going, wonder what's going on. If you were to ask that question, you would get some awareness. Oh, you're in 5D and you're actually able to see the action before the action. Because 5D is about the here and now. And the constraints of the space-time continuum no longer apply. Now, when we have the overlay of both 3D and 5D at the same time, we actually can vacillate between the two. But again, it's kind of like when you receive more than one radio station on your dial. You actually have one as the main station, and then it flips into the other one, you know, kind of slides back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. And once we know that, wow, that means we're more powerful than we thought. And it also empowers us to do more cool stuff with our thoughts and our awareness.
Wow. Okay, so let me let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the 5D. Now, is this a vibration or a frequency that is around us now that we are able to maybe more easily, maybe because of our progression or whatever, that we can kind of tap into, or that we...
Exactly.
I mean, is this something that is like just more of a universal energy or experience,
yes,
than a personal?
Yes to all of the above. I think you've done a brilliant job, because it is a vibration, it is a frequency, and it is more available today than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And, you know, one of my jobs in the universe is to be at the front of the line. So I'm like Lewis and Clark. I'm out there telling people what they can expect. And I'm doing what they're going to do. So the cool thing is these vibrations are readily available to us. We have the support of the photon belt and the other energies that are being made available to us on the planet. We are all evolving a little bit more. And so we benefit from every one of us that gets it and moves into a higher space and stays there. Now, I'll give you a funny example. I raised 4 sons, and one day someone said to me, you know, it must be a lot of work, you know, to raise 4 sons. And I laughed and I said, well, not really. When you have 4 kids at the table and you tell one of them, please use your napkin, they all do. You don't have to tell everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing that for each other. So every time we surrender to compassion in the moment, we're actually elevating all of us, kind of like all the ships in the harbor rise when the tide rides. And I'll give you another example. I was at a conference this past weekend, and I had a couple of presentations, and in one presentation, I was there at 8 o'clock for another speaker that I wanted to support, and then I left the room and went to another room, and then I came back at the end of that hour for my presentation. I was ready to go, but the speaker wouldn't give up the stage. You know, and people walked up to her and showed her the time, you know. And at one point she looked at the guy who was filming and said, I started 20 minutes late. I'm going to go 20 minutes over. And, you know, everybody went a little nutso. I mean, it was a great presentation. There was nothing wrong with that. But it was a very self-concerning action, because she wanted to make sure she got all her stuff in. And
Right. That's
a reasonable desire for a person who wants to be a presenter. So when I walked up, I said to the group, I will end on time because I have a great deal of respect for you and the other teachers, and there may be somebody else that you want to go see at exactly 11. So don't worry, I will not go over, and I will cover my material, and it'll be fine. So everything's good. And the funny thing is, on the plane home, I remembered that I didn't tell my husband, who was at the event with me. That's proof that I stayed in 5D because I didn't get upset over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's kind of a cute thing, but, you know, women do tell their spouses the drama that they encounter, right? You know, I mean, even if you're not married, if you have a sweetheart, you're going to hear the drama, whatever it is that goes on in life. You know, can you believe blah, 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 you know, and you go into that. But I had no attachment to it, and I wasn't upset with this lady at all. I mean, I was disappointed that she was not in my 5D energy, but that was okay. That was okay. She's allowed, you know, she can step up. And what was really cool is, you know, the organizer came around and chatted with a few of the speakers, and he said to me, someone told me that you ended on time, even though you didn't get to start until like almost 25 minutes late. And I said, well, that's cool. I'm glad I left an impression, you know.
Right.
So, but that's 5D. And that's how you know you're 5D, is when you don't have the need to share your he done me wrong story, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, in that, being in that frequency, that vibration, it seems then would allow for such a more peaceful, you know, and you know, just a more peaceful experience, you know, and not getting caught up in the daily drama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And,
so
you know,
now,
this is the whole shift that we're all going through, by the way.
Yeah.
We're all going through it.
What does, when you say in the book, waking up, so is that just becoming aware of this and then moving into that experience?
Well, you know, this is one of those things that I was just given the title of the book in meditation, and I just ran with it. I didn't really try to interpret it. I do spend some time in the beginning of the book talking about waking up and what that might mean and, you know, the whole ramifications of the concept of waking up. But think of it this way. If you went on a vacation and you woke up in a hotel at the beach, you were clear that you wanted to wake up in paradise, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of expect that we're going to wake up and go, wow, it's so beautiful here and the ocean's so gorgeous, you know, you're in that zone. But what if you announced to yourself before you went to bed, I am waking up in 5D? That changes everything. And I'll tell you, I wrote out a prayer for myself and some of my year-long students. I have a program called the Ascension Institute where people can train with me for a full year. So I wrote out this prayer for everybody, and we were all using it, and everyone was raving about the results, and one of those statements in that prayer was, I am waking up in 5D. But what was interesting to me is one day I decided to start saying it out loud, and there was a huge difference just from thinking it to saying it. So when we decide something, we can write it. When we decide something, we can say it. And every layer of active ownership, whether it's a thought, a written word, or spoken, adds a layer of validity to it that makes it even more probable and possible. And, you know, I wake up in such a good mood. And one of the other things I say is that I'm waking, regardless of what the night holds, I am waking up well rested and ready for the day's activities. So sometimes, you know, you wake up and you think, dang, there were sirens all night, or some goofy thing, you know, the baby kept me awake, whatever it was. But a few seconds later, as you start to kind of like really be awake, you're kind of noticing, I feel pretty good. And that's so cool to have that experience, to even be aware of, I'll call it the shortcomings that we encounter in the 3D polarity world, and then to just kind of shift. Okay, I set this matrix. I'm walking right into it. That's my uniform, my 5D uniform.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's great, especially that nighttime suggestion, the preparation, you know, for the next day is a great way to set it up. Now, you briefly mentioned ascension. So, what's the connection between ascension and the 5D experience? Is there a connection at all?
Yes, there is. The ascension is a term that's used by both mystics and New Agers. And the term implies that we are bringing into our physical body the perfected divine self. And in so doing, we become like Jesus or Buddha or whomever. In the past, the ascension was achieved through death. And this is something that is new. And we are now acquiring the ability to become the ascended masters, ascended master you, ascended master me, in our bodies without dying. And that's never been done before.
Well, that's encouraging.
Mass, you know, there are saints and sages who have become masters, certainly. But now we're doing it in mass. Everybody's going to get to go. Everyone gets to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because I think some of that old thought pattern of what ascension is and the death aspect, you know, I don't think, I'm sure among some people who you know, study it, but I think among the general population, there isn't that recognition of being able to achieve that state of being without it still be alive, you know, to bring it basically into our current life experience.
Well, you know, I thought so too. And I wondered and questioned it. And then I see what's happening around me and I see how I am reacting and how I used to react. You know, I'm a woman with a lot of fire. I don't let people get away with anything, or at least I didn't used to. And, you know, what I found is that I could be in a place of bliss. One of the early experiences I had with being 5D was many years ago when my younger sister was killed in an automobile accident. And I'm one of six in a very large family, and my sister had been married to a Frenchman, and she was special. Everyone always saw her as the special one. And so when this happened, we were all devastated, and we all, you know, went to Paris and were there for the funeral, and it was very, very hard. And about 5 or 6 weeks later, there was a family event that had been planned for over a year, and I knew that my family would not have been able to come together and, you know, and connect the way we would like to if it hadn't already been arranged and, you know, all these reservations were made. And I found myself in such a state of bliss that when certain people, you know, said some harsh things to me, I just smiled and didn't even take the hit, because I was so blissed out that I was with my family. And I'll give you an example. My stepsister didn't understand. She grew up in a different environment than I did and certainly didn't do the spiritual work that I'm doing. And at one point I introduced her to somebody that she didn't know as my stepsister. And she said, "We're too old to be stepsisters. Our parents didn't get married until we were all in our 40s, or something like that." You know, she's being very sharp with her tongue. And I just looked at her. And when she finished, I said, "You know, I lost a sister just a short while ago, and I'm just so happy to have another one." She was used to being the only girl, so she didn't want to give her position up. And I didn't hear it as an offense. I didn't hear it as a winner-take-all kind of a thing. You know, I love to tell the story about a coworker when I was in the corporate world where this man was lamenting how his son, who had recently graduated from law school, had talked him into selling his hot car for a lot less money than he'd hoped to get on the marketplace.
he's going to buy another car, and, you know, the car was going to go away. And the son, you know, got a super deal from his dad. So he's telling us at work, you know, and he's kind of sounding rueful, you know, and he's let his son talk him out of this car. And I smiled at him, and I said, just think how proud you would have been if you had gotten that deal from someone else. And his eyes got really big, and he burst out laughing, and he said, you know, you're right. And that energy of, I've got to get the better deal, is gone. We don't need it anymore. And it's like this. You know what? If you're not getting what you need, I am not getting what I need. And I'm not satisfied with any interaction we do unless you're as satisfied as I am. I'm not suggesting that I, you know, deflect my needs over yours, but or under yours.
Right. Rather.
But I want us to both feel good. And that's new. And you see it everywhere. You see it with cab drivers. You see it with, you know, the bankers or the tellers or the store clerks. You see it, you know, on the subway or the buses, wherever you're in a public environment. People are so gracious to one another. It's cool.
Yeah, there are those, and those are encouraging when you see that. It really does lighten the heart. So, well, Maureen, we're about halfway through the show, so I do want to take a quick break and, again, invite listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And then when we come back from the break, Maureen, I want to discuss emotions. What role does our emotions or our emotional experiences play in the 5D experience, okay?
Excellent.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Maureen St. Germain, and we're talking about her brand new book, Waking Up in 5D, A Guide to Multidimensional Transformation. And again, you can find out more about her book and other books as well as other services by visiting her website, which is www.maureenstgermain.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that,
and
we're back
also,
for me.
It's also available on Amazon and in bookstores everywhere.
Bookstores everywhere. Great. Okay. Well, before we talk about emotions, which is what I mentioned before the break, I do have a caller from New York who would like to ask you a question, okay?
Great.
Okay, and it's Timothy. Hello, Timothy. Tim?
Hey, how's it doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'm definitely going to get the book. I'm just curious what advice you could give me on trying to move into 5D, as you said. I've been trying to banish the fear and uncertainty from my life and trying to find my way personally, professionally. I'm just wondering if you could give me any tips until I can get the book from Amazon.
So you want some general advice on how to be more fifth dimensional?
Yes, or if you see anything in reference to me personally.
So what's going on in your life? Are you looking to change jobs or stuff going on?
Definitely. That's the most pressing thing. Jobs. That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
So first of all, all right, I got you right there. When I asked you about changing jobs and you said that's the most depressing, so here's one of the things you can do to kind of lock yourself back into 5D is every time you say how depressing your job is, then you must follow it with two or three things about your job that you like that are uplifting. So they pay you. That's a good thing. Maybe you have a decent vacation schedule. Maybe they hired you when you didn't have work and you're grateful you have a job until you can get a better one. All these things count as the positives, okay? So you got to come up with two or three, and you got to have those like in the back of your mind. So you got to start practicing because you're going to think a lot of negative thoughts initially because you're ready to move. And that's part of the soul's inspiration. You're ready to move to a better job. But in the meantime, you're going to tell the universe, don't give me more of what I don't want. And the only way to do that is to change the percentile of the I don't want stuff to I like this. I like they pay me well. I like the good vacation schedule. I like the people I work with. Maybe you like the hours. Who knows? But come up with a good list of all the things you like. And then every time you catch yourself thinking, yeah, it's kind of depressing, remind yourself of the good that you have gotten from it thus far so that you can keep the percentage always in the positive, in the proactive, I like this. And then start thinking about what you would like. And use your old list of what you don't like to help you find your new like. So, for example, you would have a list, you know, if you have a boss that doesn't appreciate you, I'm so happy I'm working for a boss that really likes me. And you put them in I am statements and you make a bunch of made-up statements that are the antithesis of all the things you don't like. And then use both of those together. And one of the things we do when we go to the movies is we suspend disbelief. There's a joke, we laugh. If there's something scary, we jump. So allow yourself to have more than one version of the reality. Don't tell yourself these other things, this other version of the reality where you're working for somebody who absolutely loves you, thinks you're fantastic and pays you well, whatever the problems were where you're at. Just reframe it, and that's the new job. And you don't have to know what it is, but you're just so happy about it. And let yourself feel it. And that literally anchors in that 5D energy. And then you're telling the universe, no resistance. No resistance on the job I don't like because I'm also thinking about the good stuff that came from it. And, oh, by the way, I like this even better. So the energy is both positive, but it's going to gravitate towards the one where you're giving it the most support.
Okay. Got it. Because I've been doing
okay.
And I wrote a book called Be a Genie that has a lot of really wonderful tools and tips on how to manifest your heart's desire. And I highly recommend you add that to the reading list for yourself.
Okay. I will definitely do such. I appreciate the time.
Cool.
Thank you, Tim.
Very cool.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, and actually that's a great transition because you mentioned about feeling it.
Yes.
And, you know, so, you know, what I wanted to pose, you know, before the break was the emotions, you know.
Yeah.
So the role that they play in the 5D experience? Because sometimes, you know, emotions can be that, you know, as far as polarity, you know, I mean, we can really, like him, you know, with the depressing aspect, you know, of a job. I mean, that can really play into, how do we deal with that?
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about what emotions do. Emotions fill in the experience with a purpose. So imagine a coloring book that hasn't been colored yet. That's your experience. And emotion fills it in with color and vibrancy and intensifies every experience. That's what emotion does. And we have the privilege of reacting only once to every circumstance. Every time after that, it is a mental exercise where we're rerunning an emotion, causing ourselves to suffer by replaying a scenario or reinvigorating what we don't want.
And so one of the ways that we can proactively stay in 5D is to count. And I tell people, count three strikes and you're out. And I will never forget the time that I was really upset about something. And I don't know what it was, but I got a call from a lady I only knew casually, and she said, you know, how's it going? And I said, well, it's okay. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to tell her why I'm really upset. I'm waiting till my sister calls me back, because she'll give me more miles for my third time. And so we want to empower ourselves, certainly, to express our wound. But count and give yourself three options, three opportunities to tell your story, your emotional wound story, and then stop. And then when you find yourself leaning into that with your thought, then you dig into your toolbox and you start pulling out all the positives around that event or that situation or the part that you don't like. So part of what's happening is, you know, we use time and we use timelines in experiencing the past as if it were in the moment when it's not. So in 5D, we don't experience time that way. And time is more like the ever-present now. And so we lose that time-space continuum kind of thing. And so the emotions can be felt. And certainly you'll want to honor the emotions. But in 5D, you don't need to stay in a place of dissatisfaction. And, you know, we all have those moments. Certainly when you live with someone or when you're interacting with people closely at your work or, you know, your other organization that you're involved with, you're going to experience, you know, emotions of displeasure because people do things you don't like. But you don't feel the need to react, and if you feel the need to react, you only feel like doing it once. You don't even feel the urge to go over and over and over, because part of what happens when you're 5D is that you're so plugged into God and you feel the divine connection so purely that you don't need to be validated, because you're the presence of the divine within you validates you. And the only reason we tell our he done me wrong story is because we want to be validated that we were hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense, you know. And you know, I've catch myself, you know, as often as I can when I bring the past into the present, and trying to recognize, hey, you know, you don't have a place here anymore. You know, you're over and done with. You know, let me move on. And then I try to do something proactively that brings me into the present. Either, you know, take a look around, you know, a special look around, maybe, you know, just change my location or do something different just to shake myself out of that. Yeah,
that's wonderful. That's a wonderful idea. Once we know that replaying the emotions keeps us in polarity, and here's why. You know, when you experience a hurt, it's because you believe that the other person knows what you know, and you wouldn't do that. So why would they? So it's a connection of trust. It's a connection of shared belief. You know, they're in the same study group as me. They know what I know. They know better. I wouldn't do that. Why would they? So there's this quality of judgment, and it's really judgment of the self, because we're evaluating them as if they were us, instead of looking at them and saying, you know, I don't know why they do that, but thank God I can see that that's not cool, and I choose to allow them to do what they're doing, but I choose to be different. And not to be in a place of polarity or objection, but to simply be an observer. And that happens with this energy that comes in. And so the more you proactively choose your words, the more you proactively choose what you say, how you allow yourself to be in pain when you are in pain. And, you know, there's an interesting thing that happens. The more 5D you are, the less people's objectionable behavior bothers you. And so you find yourself making a joke about it when they do something inappropriate, rather than
Take offense
react. Yeah, taking offense. You know, and I'll give you a funny story. You know, I'd been in China teaching for 3 weeks, and I was back at my desk, and I was quite tied up, of course, trying to get caught up with paperwork, and I was on the phone, and my husband walks in my office. We both work at home, and he looks at me, and he says, "Where's my lunch? I'm hungry." You know, I just looked at him, and I got up when he took the phone with me and kept talking and, you know, went and did my thing. You know, fortunately, women can double task. It wasn't a big deal. And I wasn't upset, and I wasn't angry. And then he did the same thing the next day. Again, because I was so focused on trying to get caught up, I wasn't paying attention to the time. But that's also one of my issues, that I don't plug into time. I handle time differently than most people. So,
right.
At the, you know, later in the day when he said, "Do you want to go to Costco with me?" I said, "Oh, honey, I would, you know, I like looking at the stuff. I like looking at the books and the clothes. You know, my five-year-old gets out, you're not going to like it." And then I looked at him and I said, "Your five-year-old was out, you know, today at lunch." And that's all I ever said to him, you know, and he got it. And I didn't have any need to make him bad or wrong. You know, and I'm sure he's thinking, she's been away all this time and she likes to cook meals for me, so why isn't it ready yet?
Right, right. Yeah, you know, and just that interaction, in most couples, I'm sure that, you know, where's my lunch? I mean, in many cases would have been met with a very defensive, "Well, you know, I'm busy, I'm doing something. Get your own lunch," kind of thing.
Yeah, get your own darn lunch. And while you're at it, make some for me.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Well, okay,
yeah, certainly in another time, another zone, you know, I might have done that too. But I'm in a different space, and it's so yummy. And the thing that I know is that just, you know, here's another tool for your audience that I'm sure they will love. And it's a simple prayer, and it's a statement I've been saying for years and years and years. And there's a very sweet story behind it. The prayer is this: I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I am in contact with. So I show up at this restaurant at the airport, and it's kind of a bar, you know, where you stop and you put your order in on an iPad, and I'm struggling because I want to put in my airline number to get my discount, and I'm just not making it. And I love technology, but it wasn't working for me. So a waiter comes over and starts to help me. And then he has to leave to take care of an order. So then another waiter comes along and he starts to help me. And then he leaves and then another waiter comes along and she starts to help me. And then after she leaves, another waiter comes along and finally we get the order placed. So I'm just sitting there, you know, just kind of enjoying the fact that I'm sitting and not rushing. And I turned to the lady next to me and she said, "You know, when I sat down, no one talked to me. And no one helped me place my order." And I didn't get what she was saying right away, right? And I said, "Oh, that's so interesting." Notice I didn't say, "That's too bad." I said, "Oh, that's so interesting." And then I said, "I had such a different experience." And she said, "I know. I saw the whole thing." And I started to giggle, and I said, "You want to know my secret?" And she said, "I sure do." And so I shared with her what I just shared with you. Just announce in sometime earlier in the day, if you can, "I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I am in contact with," or "for me and everyone I'm in contract with," which is also another way to put it. Now, in the early years, I had an experience. Again, all these tools, I've learned the hard way, okay? So I was getting off of a plane, and I had been teaching the students, you know, what to do if you had a really bad day. And I had a way of describing it in a very quick shorthand. And it was inappropriate for me to use in my own everyday language, but I was using it as a teaching tool. So I get off the plane, and a lady who is in my home city recognizes me. She's working for the airline. And she said, "Oh, hi, Maureen, how are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm pretty good, but this is my day from blank because I have to get back here in an hour and a half and catch another plane going to the East Coast." And she was so surprised by the words that came out of my mouth that she kind of stopped and looked at me, and I thought, "Oh, my God, I can't believe I said that." So I quickly corrected and said, "But I'm having a day of heaven on earth because I'm flying with United." So I come home, and there's an inch of water on my basement floor. there's water running somewhere, but we can't see where it's coming from right away. And it turns out that there's a leaky pipe, and the water is spilling over into one of the cutaways, you know, in the laundry room where the wall doesn't go all the way to the top. And, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness. So I called the airlines and got my flight moved to a later time, and they didn't charge me a late, you know, didn't charge me a change fee. Then I called my neighbor, and he came over and helped me. Then we called the plumber, and the plumber came on time. The plumber said, where do you want me to drill? I think, you know, we need to drill in the upstairs bathroom. And I checked in with my guidance, and my guidance said, no, right here, right downstairs. And he drilled there, and that's where the problem was. It only cost me $125 to get it fixed. My neighbor came over with fans. We dried out the walls. My neighbor, you know, said he would watch the house while I left for my next trip. I went to the bank and the post office. I did a mailing. I came back from the bank, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I only really needed maybe an hour, and I would have been able to catch that flight. And the phone is ringing when I get home. And it's a real person from United, and they said both of your feeder flights from your commuting city to the main city are running an hour late. And if you take the flight you're booked on, you will miss all your connections to the East Coast. Is there any way you can take the earlier flight that's now leaving an hour later than it was supposed to? And I said, yes, actually I can. My suitcase is packed. Everything's cool. So I'm sitting on the plane and I'm looking around and going, that was amazing. Even though there was like all craziness breaking out in my world, it was so smooth. And so I asked, what's going on? How did I do that? And I was told, you asked for a day of heaven on earth. And I thought, whoa, well, next time I have a busy day, I'm going to ask for that again. The second time I asked for it, it occurred to me, I don't have to wait till I have a busy day. I can ask every day. And so can our listeners.
Yeah, well, that's great. And that's a wonderful example of living in 5D. Now, when you're in that frequency, does serendipity or coincidence, does it seem to occur more when you're in that space?
I think so, because it gives us the chance to recognize the message of alignment with our highest opportunity in the moment. You know, because serendipity is really a term that means we, as humans, have found some kind of familiarity, and we express an understanding that two unrelated events are related in some way. And that gives us that great feeling of serendipity, you know.
Yeah, because it was really interesting. I had an example of something like that happen just earlier in the week. I'm like an amateur nature photographer, and so I posted a picture of a park, you know, and was going through it to try to find an appropriate quote, that, you know, inspirational quote to go along with it, and next found one from Helen Keller that I thought, well, this fits great. So posted that on Sunday. That was on Saturday. Then on Monday, the guest that I had, she's originally from Suriname, but during that show, she talked about Helen Keller being one of her idols, and then used the exact same quote that I had used days before.
I thought, whoa,
this is intense.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, of course, it emphasizes two things. It emphasizes that you are connected and plugged in to the group mind of consciousness that we all belong to, and that you were able to tap into a match, an energetic match, that would show up in your life and reinforce not only the choice of speaker, but that it would reinforce your own connection with the actual quote, which is very powerful. So, you know, synchronicity is hearing a song in your head whose words reinforce a difficult decision, but maybe help you keep the faith. Or maybe it's getting that unexpected telephone call of support for a project or idea that you had decided I have to let it go. And then somebody calls you and says, no, I think that's a cool thing you're doing. And I want to talk about energy dominance because I think this is important and related to what we're talking about. And that is, it's a scientific concept that energy dominance is a principle that says the strongest vibration in a system will dominate and homogenize all the other remaining elements in the system. So, for example, they've done experiments with pendulum clocks, and they put them all in a room, and over a cycle of time, they all start to swing in unison, okay? And we all know this from seeing fireflies. If you've ever seen a bunch of fireflies land on a tree at night, and pretty soon the tree is blinking on and off, just like we were using electric lights. So, I think that when we allow ourselves to put our energy dominance where we want it, either in our outcomes or in our proactive words or in staying in that willingness to look at the good side of everything, we tell the universe we're ready for the 5D energy, and the universe conspires to give it to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Maureen, we're out of time. So, I mean, this has really been great. Now, there were things I wanted to talk about merging lifetimes and about dragons, but people are going to have to get the book. People are going to have to get the book to find out about that.
A lot of lovely stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I have really enjoyed our conversation. And now, is there maybe any final thoughts you may want to give the listeners, that maybe we didn't cover or overall about the 5D experience?
Well, let's just jump to the dragons real fast, and I'll tell all the listeners, if you're in traffic or you're in even in public transportation and you're seeing, like a tie-up and the slowdown of the typical movement, call in the dragons. Even though you don't believe in them, even if you don't know what I'm talking about, just say, okay, I'm going to try this out. I'm calling in dragons to help smooth out the traffic and get everyone where they want to go, especially me. And you'll be amazed. Traffic will move and everything will shift. And please do write to Robert and tell him because he's going to go, oh, my God.
Absolutely. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure.
Great. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Maureen St. Germain. We've been talking about her new book, Waking Up in 5D, A Guide to Multidimensional Transformation. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website at MaureenStGermain.com. Again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. And as she mentioned, the book is available at Amazon and all kinds of your leading bookstores. So definitely pick yourself up a copy. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.